From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. So how was your Memorial Holiday weekend? Were you among the crowds outside? Were you on the move? Did you eat in a restaurant for the first time in months or go to a church service? Here we are. Memorial Day 2020 has come and gone in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, and the rules are changing about what we can and can't do. In Central California, it all came with a heat wave, too. The forecast is for temperatures over 100 today, tomorrow, and Thursday, with Thursday afternoon expected to be the hottest day. So there's a lot of ground to cover. California's governor did change the guidelines, and let's start with Carla Marinucci. She is senior writer for Politico. She joins us by phone. Hi there, Carla.
Hey, Beth. Good to be with you.
So this was a pivotal weekend. Does it seem to you that we have shifted into a new chapter of the pandemic where this push and pull is going to be highlighted more than ever?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Memorial Day, the kickoff of summer, and the numbers are still not looking good in California. 3,700 deaths. We reached that toll this week. 1,600 in one day alone yesterday. And in Los Angeles, you know, that represents half the cases in the state, 2,100 deaths in Los Angeles. So there's a lot of concern that as the summer months are here now, the numbers are up, the pressure is on for the governor to loosen up those guidelines even more. And yet, concern about a possible resurgence of this virus if people relax social distancing and wearing masks. So, boy, there's a lot of conflict going on as this pandemic continues. People want to get back to normal, but the governor's message has been, please stay with the guidelines. Please keep up the good work. But, boy, that's hard to do when Californians want to get out and get back to business.
Well, let me talk about the timing with you a little bit. I happened to look at Twitter in the middle of the afternoon yesterday and just happened to catch the fact that he had eased some of the guidelines on places of worship and retail businesses. He's being hit hard by a number of lawsuits. He was the focus of posters and specific personal messages at this big protest at the Capitol on Saturday. And so some people were commenting, oh, he's really feeling the heat. He's reacting to this. And it's going to be hard to discern, Carla, whether he's just walking his phased walk at this point or he's responding to pressure.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely right. The number of lawsuits has just multiplied, as you mentioned, Beth. I mean, he did give churches the green light to reopen on Monday, and that was after President Trump threatened to override the governors, remember, when it came to in-person religious services. A lot of people felt that that was due to political pressure on Trump and wanting to ramp up his base. But the fact is that 1,200 California pastors have sued. They vowed to resume the services. Some of them are being absolutely defiant, saying they are going to do it whether or not, and whether guidelines or not. A lawsuit, meanwhile, over the weekend by a Southern California church went to the Supreme Court on Sunday night. So this has been a continual issue and concern, and the guidelines for the churches are pretty strict. They've got to have a maximum of 100 people or 25% of the building capacity. There's a real concern about singing, about praying together in a closed space. That is a place where absolutely the virus can transmit very easily to people, and we've seen in California churches where that has happened. Assembly of God Church in Redwood Valley, a very concerning development, 9 cases coming out of apparently a worship service there. So all of this is the push and pull that Gavin Newsom is facing. Political pressure on one side from Donald Trump, from the lawsuits, but also from health officials who are saying we don't want to see a resurgence of this virus come fall. And many of them are concerned. At least one UC Berkeley expert told the Chronicle today that October is going to be our darkest month in California if people let up on their masks and social distancing.
In my next segment, I'm going to talk with Dr. Dean Blumberg about this issue with heat and the transmission of the virus. You know, we're into a whole different packet of questions right now. And let me add that Butte County up here in our region had a worship service on Mother's Day that ended up having a parishioner sometime later with a positive test. So then you think about all the contact tracing that has to happen after that, not to mention the quarantine. So I think the ripple effects are being more understood. Can I stay with the governor for a moment? He has a press conference today at noon. We're going to hear from him on updates. He has another national TV appearance. He's going to be on the Today Show tomorrow morning. So he's walking a big state stage, a one-man rule, as Dan Walters called it in his Cal Matters opinion piece over the weekend. And this national presence that he wants to have, there's my little slip there, as he hopes someday to have a shot at the White House. This is a very interesting political time for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in the wake of this bromance he appeared to have with President Trump, it looks like that bromance could be on the rocks if you're talking about some of the conflicts ahead. On Governor Newsom's event today at noon, I think he may have to address Hollywood, that he had planned to reveal some of the guidelines for Hollywood production and how that would get back on track. He was expected to do that yesterday. A lot of the Hollywood papers, the papers that cover the industry, were very upset that that didn't happen. There's a lot of pressure to get back to big screen and small screen production in Hollywood, which is costing studios, you know, agencies, unions, all of the drama down there. They want to see some kind of guidelines from Newsom on that. So that, you're absolutely right. He has the national stage. He's running a nation state. He's had that friendly relationship with Trump, but now comes the state budget. Now comes relaxing some of these guidelines, and now comes the issue of mail-in voting.
Right.
Trump this morning is tweeting and attacking Newsom again on that issue. So I think the bromance looks to be breaking up very quickly between these two, and you're going to see some real divisions when it comes to the budget and how much federal money California is going to get. And then on political issues like mail-in ballots, which Trump has been pounding now for days on Twitter and continues to do so, we have to say, making allegations that are completely unfounded with regard to how much voter fraud has been found in California and elsewhere. So we're going to see that continue as well, Beth.
Because you mentioned the president, I'm going to add here that he is lobbying hard to be able to have one of his huge rallies in North Carolina at the Republican convention, 20,000 people or so, and in fact threatening to pull it out of North Carolina if he can't do that. I don't want to spend the time there, but I do want to talk to you about big events, big campaign events, big rallies in California leading up to November. It's hard to know where we'll be, but those are all phase four, and we're not racing through these phases.
No, absolutely not. This is one thing that Newsom has been very specific about and very controlled and continues to put out that message. Business is pressuring. As we said, churches are pressuring. But when it comes to major sporting events, this is where it's going to be very, very rough. Look, you've got the huge Rams stadium. You've got the Warriors arena up here, which just opened up. There is multi-million dollar interest involved in these major sports, the NBA, football. This is where it's going to get interesting, because when you're talking about major events with 30,000 people in a stadium, the social distancing goes out the door. It's not going to happen. People are going to have to get used to a completely different way to look at sports and other major events like concerts, arts, ballet, opera, you name it. I mean, our world has changed. And until there is a vaccine or some kind of control here, we're not going to be able to see this. And that is a real economic pressure for Gavin Newsom when you talk about the major sports events here in California, the teams and the kind of money and the kind of stars, LeBron James, Steph Curry, et cetera. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him to relax there and get back to normal. And there is no normal until there's a vaccine. And I think that's been his message. But we have to see how that develops.
I'm talking with Politico senior writer Carla Marinucci. This is the feel of a Monday on a Tuesday as we just wrap up our Memorial holiday weekend. So staying with that idea of groups that are putting pressure on the governor reminds me of you asking him a question a few weeks ago about how he's living his own life and whether he'd had a haircut. So there was his answer, no, he hadn't. But hair salons have organized in such an interesting sort of emerging political way to also put pressure on when they can reopen and arguing that they're essential.
That's right, and this is one of the many groups that is now suing Gavin Newsom to reopen. And we know that the governor over the weekend also relaxed guidelines for retail, but hair salons, nail salons, barber shops are not in that group. The retailers are subject to local health guidelines, and of course, there was pressure from small town Main Street businesses to open, saying, "Look, big box retailers were open. We need to start reopening too." The same pressure is coming from these nail salons and barber shops. The lawsuits are now out there, and gyms, we may add, are another aspects of this want to reopen. But when you're talking about gyms with people who are inside, breathing heavily, using equipment that would have to be sanitized on a regular basis. I mean, we're talking about redoing the way these businesses operate. We've already seen with hair salons a couple of instances of COVID transmission and clusters that have come out of them. And, of course, Newsom noted that one of the first cases of COVID in California was traced to a nail salon. So they've got to come up with the health guidelines, and of course, all of these reopenings are subject to local county official health guidelines.
Right.
And that's another area. A lot of these nail salons and hair salons are owned by one, you know, family, their family operations, family, many of them single women who are proprietors. And so economically, this is the question. You're talking about right now, you know, 30% unemployment nationally, 40 million people, and that is a huge pressure. But these small businesses, they have an increasingly loud voice in Sacramento, and they are one of the concerns he's got to be looking at. But what kind of conflicts does it present when you're talking about trying to protect public health at the same time?
To clarify, the retail businesses that had easing of restrictions that are now fully open beyond curbside, you can actually go into the store, the bookstores,
right,
the toy stores, really retailers from that first list, florists, sporting goods stores, clothing, shoes, jewelry stores were on the list as well.
Right.
So that's where we are with that. I want to switch with you, Carla, and by the way, looks like we're just seeing a headline here that Pentagon Deputy Inspector General resigns. Yet again,
ooh,
there was another transition there. Can we talk about this national story from Central Park with the woman who had her dog, this viral video, and the man who had asked her to leash the dog, the African-American man?
Yeah, this is an amazing story. It's a video that's been seen by 20 million people. African-American man who's a bird watcher was in Manhattan Central Park over the weekend. You're supposed to be leashing your dogs there to protect the birds. He noticed a dog out there sort of digging up nests and other habitats for the birds. He asked the owner politely to please leash her dog, and she wouldn't do it. So he began filming, and she absolutely freaked out on him on camera and began threatening him and called the police and said that an African-American man was threatening her life. The reason this video, I think, went viral, Beth, is because it was a case study in what happens many times to African-American men and how they end up not only in police custody, but in so many cases dead. When there's a reaction by law enforcement, sometimes that is a complete overreaction. This was a case that was interesting because so many people watched this video and reacted to it that the woman involved has been placed on administrative leave from her big financial firm. The dog involved her dog, which she was choking while she was calling the cops, was taken away from her by the shelter that right. That gave it to her. The fact is that these viral videos now are having a social effect, and in this case, I think so many people were disturbed by her lies and the threats that she made against this African American man. That it did have an immediate blowback on her in a very dramatic way. I think it was just one more case of these viral videos having an impact.
Well, one distinction here is that she is responding to media inquiries, and she talked to WNBC, apparently offered an apology, and I'm going to read a quote from that apology. She said to the man, Christian Cooper, and his family, "It was unacceptable. I humbly and fully apologize to everyone who's seen that video, everyone that's been offended," she said, and this was from last night. She said, "Everyone who thinks of me in a lower light, I understand why they do."
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lesson for everybody to kind of lower the temperature. And I have to say, Christian Cooper, the bird watcher involved, said he did not want to see her fired. He just wanted to see the habitat protected. And maybe we all need to just take a breath and lower the temperature.
Yeah, he added, "I don't think there's an African-American person in America who hasn't experienced something like this at some point."
Yeah, it was just a dramatic example.
Let it be an example of conversations besides COVID that are happening and need to happen in the world, Carla.
Absolutely, Beth. I'm glad to have it with you.
Yeah, that are really important. And in that light, I am just going to say thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get another wave of news at noon from whatever the governor says, and that'll kind of jump back up to the headlines again. But our life and our world still goes on in many, many different ways. And
exactly. Always good to be with you, Beth. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much, Carla. Okay. That was Carla Marinucci, senior writer for Politico. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. Standing by is Dr. Dean Blumberg. We will talk about the heat and the coronavirus after a short break.